Chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and briefly what I would like to do today is just set our minds for communion by considering the light that Jesus brought to the world and the value of that as we move out into our worlds. During the late 19th century and well into the earliest 20th century, a series of some 70 lighthouses were built along the western coast of California and Oregon and Washington. The farthest south one is down at Old Point Loma in San Diego. The farther north is on the peninsula in Washington called Cape Flattery. All those were built within that 50-year period intended during that period, and many of them tended right up until World War II. And of course, the purpose of those lighthouses is singular. It's to keep people safe. It's to bring light to those mariners. It's to help them guide seagoing traffic, which was becoming very congested at that point in time with gold rush and the lumber trade that was going up and down the coast, and before GPS was available. And so they placed these lighthouses, 70 of them, in particularly dangerous reefs or next to shallow water or entrances into harbors. And the whole idea there was to bring a light of safety to the ships. And they were of particular importance, of course, at night, because in the very, very darkness of the sea, that was the only light that would give them a good sense on many of those nights when they could not see the stars very, very clearly of exactly where they were. And each lighthouse had its own light, and it had its own light in terms of how long it would shine. Like, for instance, the one at Cambria shined for 10 seconds. The one farther down the coast might be 5 seconds. The one farther up would be 15 seconds, and that would tell them exactly where they were and how far they had to go. And I found it interesting as I went through a lighthouse tour that I shared with you a couple of months ago, just how relatively insignificant actually these lights were. Sometimes when we think of those lights, we think of them and say, man, they must have been huge. They must have been amazing lights. But in truth, they were very, very small lights. They were maybe the size of a large tuna can, and most of them had kerosene in them and a small wick. And what we would consider about a 100-watt bulb was all the brightness of those lights. But those lights were surrounded by a very, very powerful glass German lens called a Fresnel lens. And basically what that light would do is it would center and make that light bright. And those lights could actually be seen as far away as 19 or 20 miles, not because of the light itself, but because of that which surrounded the light, that wonderful lens. Now, being a student of the obvious and a preacher, I thought to myself, that's a very good illustration. Because left alone, our light is not that much and does not often shine very brightly. But because of the powerful and focused lens that is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that indwells us, we can shine as lights in a dark world. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about as our students leave, as a chorale goes forth, as we continue in our ministry here, the value of being light in a dark world. I also want to use our time as just an introduction for our communion and for us to see in the verses before us in Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16, just how great a light our Savior was as he came among us. What I'd like to do, as I always do, is I'd like to read the verses that we'll be opening, but I'm just going to read the first two verses, and then together we will read the third verse, because the third verse is our verse for the month. And I made this particularly our verse for the month because I want us to take it with us, and as we memorize and think through our verse of the month, I also want it to be a way for us to be reminded to pray for those who are going forth into missions, that they would be a light as they go forth. So it has a twofold purpose. So as you read the verse and memorize it, every time stop and pray for those people who are going forth. Here's what the word of the Lord says from verses 14 through 16. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it into a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." And the final verse together, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And that's found in Matthew 5 and 16. Now, as you settle upon this passage, you note that these verses are in red if you have a real live edition like this. I don't know if they are red on your little eye tricky things. It is? Okay, we'll see. It's the same thing. I will make the switch someday when I'm dead, probably. But you will note that these are the words of Jesus. And they were uttered fairly early in his ministry. And they were uttered to help people who were seeking to be Christ followers and are wondering, what does it mean to be a Christ follower? They are preceded by what we often call the Beatitudes, right? And he talks about, you are blessed if you are this, or you are blessed if you are that, and you are blessed if you do this. And finally, he speaks about the importance and urgency of them being light in a dark world. And what he does in the midst of this is help them to understand that they are to be people who shine brightly into other people's lives. Now, this is an apt analogy because we see that it was used often of Jesus and by Jesus and to us as well. Scripture is pretty clear on this, that Christ is the light. The disciple that Jesus loved, John, spoke of Christ in this way when he says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And just a few verses later, he says, "He was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man." And then just a bit later, Jesus, speaking of himself, says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So those who saw Jesus spoke of him as one who brought light. He himself spoke of himself as bringing light to the world. And later on, as the church began to invest itself into the world, both Paul and Peter speak the same words. He says, "You were formerly children of darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Therefore," in a command, he says, "walk as children of light." And then Peter speaks much the same when he says, "He has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." And so the idea that we have here is that somehow, some way, you and I, as Jesus was, are to be light bringers into a dark world. Now, it was a dark world in Jesus' time, and it's certainly becoming a dark world in many respects in our own lives. And so we have to ask ourselves, how can we bring light, or what scenarios primarily are we going to bring in light? And Jesus is going to bring forth three scenarios in which we should bring light. The first he brings to us is found in verse 14. And in verse 14 he says, "Our light should be noticeable from a distance." You are, he says, the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So he sets it in kind of a macro kind of analogy that just says, you ought to be a light in such a way that you are able to be seen from a distance, that there's something different about your life that brings light to darkness, and that from a distance. The analogy he uses is still something that we can understand today, for there are large parts of even California that are utterly dark at night, and then suddenly you will go over an overpass or on a freeway, and then you will see the lights of a city laid out far ahead of you. In the same way, in Jesus' time, the cities were the only place of light, and even today in Israel, those cities are largely made from limestone. And so the walls are very, very light, are very, very white. And so the moon would reflect on the walls of the city. The fire, the watch fires would reflect on the walls. Even the small oil lamps in the rooms within the walls of the city would show off the light as people would come from miles away. He says, in a very similar way, you and I are called to be light to those who are distant from us. Jesus, I think, was doing this. When early in his ministry, wherever he went, there was something noticeably different about them, even to people who did not know him. He would stop and minister to those who were in pain or who were hurting, who were poor and who were the outcasts of society. He would spend time with the sinners, and he would take his time to minister to people. Even people from a distance would say, there's something light about this person. There is something that is different about him. I wonder sometimes, and I'm going to ask you to consider it in your community groups this week, just for a question that will make us uncomfortable. If a person were to follow us around for a day, put on their little private detective outfit and walk around and totally unnoticeable to us, and we had no idea who they were or that they were even following us, would there be anything about our daily life that would be so significantly different that they would notice? Would they see a difference in the way that we speak with people? Would they see a difference in the way we care for people? Would they see a difference in the way we drive? Would they see anything at all that said, there's something a little different about this person that from a distance I can see that he is special? I think we need to ask that question every day. Every day we're not necessarily going to have the opportunity to share the gospel with our words, but we can always share the gospel with our works. Can always share the gospel by taking the time to be a light to those people who are distant in our lives. I think that was the most remarkable thing about Jesus' ministry, is he reached out past the established norms and into the lives of people who were distant, and he drew them to himself with the light that was his life. Secondly, in verse 15, Jesus takes us from the macro, the big viewpoint, and now he takes us into a smaller viewpoint. He says, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to those who are in the house. I don't think it stretches the context at all to see that Jesus has given us two examples, one large and distant, and one that is close and up personal. And I think the sense here, that is that we need to be a light within our own homes. A friend of mine sent me some pictures last week of a cabin that I had built, my wife and I had built back in the 70s, and we had spent a number of wonderful summers there. But then we found that people were breaking into it, and we'd spend more time fixing the cabin when we went up there, and finally we just gave up the cabin. And he showed me some pictures, and that cabin is working its way back to dust pretty well. But I remember when we were spending a lot of time there, and there was no electricity, there was no plumbing. It was a very simple little structure of about 500 square feet. And at night, it was very, very dark there, what we used to call the property. And all it would take were these two little kerosene lamps. And we would light those kerosene lamps, and you could play Scrabble, or you could read, or you could do just about anything. Just a little bit of a light in a house shines brightly within the house. Jesus said it's valueless to have a lamp and cover that lamp within the house. And I want to say the same thing to us this morning. Are we being, as Jesus was, light to those who are closest to him? I think that was what was so wooing about Jesus, is that he was the same to people who were distant as he was to those who were close to him. That he ministered graciously and spent the hours and time and ministered to those people in a very gracious way. And your second question in your community groups this week is, if someone came up to a significant person in your household this week and asked what kind of a light giver you were to that house, would they have an answer? Would they be able to say, yes, this is a person who loves the Lord and loves his word, who prays with and for the family, who guides them in truth, who seeks as a family to be a light not only to their family but to their neighborhood, to those who surround them? I think it's important for us to send our short-term missionaries off, and it's so valuable for them in terms of shaping who they were. But we must never forget that this is a mission field right here in terms of which we are called to be light givers. We are light givers in our distance, and we are light givers up close and personal. And so Jesus was one who was noticeably light from a distance, and he was noticeably light to those who are closest to them. Finally, in verse 16, we see that our light should be such that it makes not us noticeable, but that it makes God very noticeable. Let your light shine, he says, before men in such a way that they may see your good works. And the wonderful word he uses here for works has to do, for good works, has to do with something that has great quality. So they might see the quality of your life for the purpose of not bringing glory to us, but for the purpose, he says, of bringing glory to your Father who is in heaven. And as we turn our hearts to the communion table, that's what I want us to be reminded of us this morning. In the body, in the cup of the communion table, we see that Jesus Christ, from the moment he came among us, was one who brought light to those who were distant, brought light to those who were close, and always saw fit, even to his death on a cross, to shine the light that was his Father's will. So as we partake of communion this morning, let us partake with consideration of the light that Jesus was, the light he calls us to be. Let's pray, and I'll have the men come forward, the worship team come forward, to wait on us for the communion table this morning. Thank you, Father, that when we think of your Son, we think of the one who was the light of the world. And that we who were lost in darkness and sin found life and light through his name. And as we come together and we celebrate of the bread and of the cup in remembrance of you, remember the light that was your life and the life-giving light that was your sacrifice for us. Cause us to reflect well now as we partake of the bread and the cup. And we do so in remembrance of our dear Savior. In Jesus' name.